Coming up on today's show.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to get out there in the world. And as you mentioned before, bike across the United States with my video camera, my laptop. And I'm going to interview some of the 1 billion Catholics on Earth.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to 4 social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, or even private message me through the Facebook page or through the Instagram account. I honestly love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me at any time. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Last night, I was at the University of Tampa for a men's lacrosse game. They were playing a team from way out in Utah, which, in other words, means that it's not a conference rival, not a team in their region that they play against regularly. Yet the action on the field was quite heated. You would think that the two teams have a long storied history against one another. At one point, things were getting so physical that I was just waiting for a punch to be thrown. In moments like those, you sense that Satan is there. He wants to tempt the athlete to do something they shouldn't, and then the athlete wants to commit an act that is against the rules and will result in a penalty. Yes, even on the field, the court, the ice, Satan is trying to tempt us, especially when we would think he wouldn't be there. Put on the armor of God and prepare yourself for his temptations in your daily lives, whether in sports situations or not. During a meditation in September 2017, Pope Francis said, quote, "The Lord asked St. Michael to fight the devil for us who are on our life journey towards heaven. Michael helps us to fight against him and to not be seduced by this evil spirit which deceives us." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been a professional mountain runner, winning the Pikes Peak Marathon in back-to-back years, 2020 and 2021. He also competed for the United States at the World Mountain Running Championships in Argentina in 2019, and he continues to train for road marathons and ultramarathons with the hopes of qualifying for the 2024 Marathon Olympic Trials. Collegiately, he had competed for the University of Colorado and helped contribute to national championships in cross country. After graduating from there, he went on to start a Catholic apostolate after graduation called 1 Billion Stories, which we will hear about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Seth DeMore.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to chatting with you and all of your audience about a little bit about my story and my journey in the Catholic faith and the running and ultra-running world.
You bet. So glad to hear you here, Seth. I know you're in Colorado, and I just mentioned in the intro that you attended the University of Colorado. So is that the state where you're originally from? Share with us about where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I am one of the few Colorado natives left. A lot of people like to move here because it's a beautiful state, and I was born in Colorado Springs, actually not too far from the Olympic Training Center. And then my family moved up to the mountains, to a little mountain town that we like to call Buena Vista, as the locals call it, properly pronounced Buena Vista. So I grew up there from the age of 5 until I graduated high school. And it's a small town, 5,000 people, That's where I started. I started actually in the soccer background, but eventually I transitioned to running. And yeah, so I'm one of three. I have an older sister and a younger brother, and then and then my mom and dad. So that's where I grew up.
And I'm 99% sure that you're a cradle Catholic. So as long as the 1% doesn't prevail, share with us about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household as you were growing up.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a cradle Catholic, baptized in Colorado Springs and received all of my sacraments in the Diocese of Colorado Springs, not the Archdiocese of Denver where I live now. So down in the southern end of the state. And yeah, cradle Catholic, and was very blessed growing up in Buena Vista, very strong parish, and even though it was a small mountain town. And what's interesting is a big part of my journey growing up was attending World Youth Day. I was able to go to World, oh gosh, 3 or 4 World Youth Days, starting with Paris in 1997 with St. John Paul the Great. And so I was 10 years old when I went, no, I guess I would have been 12 years old in 1997. And boy, what a huge moment. I didn't quite fully understand the universality of the church at that point, but to be in the presence of, a saint and all these young Catholics who were in love with the church at that time, and it really made an impression on me. So, yeah, World Youth Day was big for me growing up in Buena Vista.
Interesting, interesting. Let's back up though. I do want to talk about sports.
Sure.
When and how did you get into running? You mentioned soccer, so was running your first sport? It obviously was not your only sport. Just tell us about all things Seth Damour in terms of sports participation at a young age.
I have to say, I have always loved sports. I love all sports, really, whether it's football or baseball, or I played most of them growing up. I trended towards soccer, and probably at the age of 7 or 8, and I played soccer up until 6th grade. But I was very, very small. So I would try to, I always tell the story. I was asked, in a soccer game to do a corner kick. And I distinctly remember doing the corner kick, and the ball, I kicked it and it landed maybe halfway to the goal. And my legs were not very strong at that point. And it was at that moment in 6th grade where I realized, you know what? Maybe I should just stop with the sports that have a ball and just drop that and just stick with the running, because like I could outrun anybody on the soccer field. I could run all day and I wouldn't get tired. And so that's what I did in middle school. I transitioned to just cross country, and then eventually track in the spring. And as they always say, the rest is history. So I just started running and did really well with, running in middle school, running in high school, and then, onwards. So that's the short version of how I discovered running. Was really the note, and so I guess for all the youngsters listening out there, if if you might be a little on the smaller side, it's okay. Like, God has a sport for you, and it just might take you a little while to discover it.
Yeah, exactly. I love that realization that you came to that, okay, maybe soccer isn't my sport, but it doesn't mean that I can't compete in sports, period. So I love that you made that shift and said, okay, I'm really good at running and I don't need a ball, so there are still sports for me out there. In the lead up to today, you told me that you, quote, fell in love with Christ and his church while in college at the University of Colorado, end quote. What specifically took place during that time that led to that?
This is where my story gets pretty interesting. So I say I'm fast in high school as far as cross country and track, but I wasn't nationally known. I wasn't that fast as far as, winning all the state championships. So I had to prove myself and walk on at the University of Colorado. For those out there listening who know about the university, it's a very, very well known in the cross country and track, and many Olympians have come through the University of Colorado and gone on to compete on the world stage. So I wasn't Olympic fast, or not even close. So I had to walk on, and it's a time trial at the beginning of the year in August. I tried my freshman year, didn't make it, and trained on my own my freshman year of college, and this would have been like 2005. And then, sure enough, trained hard enough and managed to walk onto the team my sophomore year of college. But to answer your question about, you know, really discovering Christ in my collegiate years through the church, is that I ended up having a lot of injuries. What, you know, for the runners out there, you'll be familiar with stress fractures. And a stress fracture is a bone injury. And you're usually out for 6 to 8 weeks when you get a stress fracture. So I had some pretty big challenges just because, you know, you're training at a very, very high level in college. It's basically like having a, you know, a part-time or full-time job on top of all of your regular studies. And because of those injuries, it allowed me more time to pray, to go to daily mass, to discover adoration, and honestly, just to figure out, you know, and ask the Lord, like, why am I getting so many injuries and what's going on here? So it was, you know, as they always say, a blessing in disguise, actually, these running injuries, because it let me really wrestle with those bigger questions of life and really led me to daily mass, which was, you know, completely changed my life, because I definitely was not going to daily mass as a high schooler.
Okay. And clearly, it's great that you did get closer to the Lord, but you obviously did go on to success competing for the University of Colorado. For those that are not aware, your company is called Demore Global Running. Just to do a reset on sports, as you were competing on the cross country and track teams at the University of Colorado, were you thinking ahead to life after graduation relative to, I want to find a way to make a career that's based around competitive running?
Yes. And once again, I was a little, like, I was fast in college. I did well, but not quite fast enough to, you know, start signing contracts with, let's say, the big running shoe companies, New Balance or Saucony. So I, you know, again, I had to get creative. And at this time, for those, you know, that are unfamiliar, like, YouTube launched in 2004, 2005, and I always had an interest in video production. And so I realized, like, man, maybe I can use my video production skills later after college. And so that's what you're alluding to with the Demore Global Running and all the videos that I have up there on the YouTube page, on the YouTube channel. That led, yeah. So to answer your question, yes, I was thinking about the future and how to use YouTube and this new technology to work in the professional running world, but not in the traditional sense of, you know, running again for, you know, Adidas or, you know, Nike or what have you.
Gotcha. And let's not miss out on clearly the maturation that was happening in Seth's life, because recognizing that, oh, darn, I'm injured, I can sit here and hang my head, versus I'm going to start going to daily mass, was a very mature progression to make. And then his vision to say, okay, look, I really enjoy this, I'm having some success, but I'm not going to go on to sign an endorsement contract, so let me start thinking about something that I love, but how I can turn this into a career where I'm not necessarily going to be a competitor. And folks, I also mentioned in the intro that after graduating from college, Seth started a Catholic apostolate called 1 Billion Stories. What I did not tell you was that that initiative actually entailed him biking across the country. What I also want to tell you is that I have recently learned that the National Religious Broadcasters Convention that I have been mentioning the last couple weeks, that's May 22nd to the 25th, just over in Orlando, so maybe a 90-minute drive for me one way, the registration fee to attend that event is going to go up $100 at the end of next week, specifically on April 14th. I always make clear that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, and that I'm just a one-person operation here, doing everything by myself on and off the air, and that all the expenses that come with operating this ministry, well, I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover them, which is why I'm so grateful to Dr. Kevin Vost, the guest from a couple weeks ago on episode 215, for the gift that he made through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. How this all goes together is that I have been saying the last few weeks that it is $600 just for the National Religious Broadcasters Conference registration alone, or $700 as of April 14th. And as good as that event could be for me and Catholic Sports Radio, I just am not in a position to afford that on my own. If you'd like to help me get there, if you like what I'm doing through this ministry, if Catholic Sports Radio is helping you in your faith life, if you get some benefit from the work that I do and the stories, the testimony that I bring you from guests, whether that's spiritual benefit, entertainment value, or both, I would ask you to send your support as Dr. Kevin Vost did. It's as easy as utilizing that blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it's easy, it's secure, and it will let you type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. In other words, there's not a list of preset amounts for you to choose from. Alternatively, since some people don't like putting credit card information on the internet, I invite you to contact me through social media or email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on sending a check through the mail. As I'm doing this week by mentioning Dr. Kevin Vost, I will happily say the name of anyone who sends something in, whether through the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or through the mail. Or as some have opted to do instead, you can ask me to keep your name confidential and merely say an anonymous donor. As we wind down Lent, we have been hearing, of course, about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So it would mean so, so much to me if, as part of your tithing, you would consider helping make it possible for me to attend the NRB convention in Orlando in May. I can't say enough how grateful I am to all of you for listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do and using the mix of faith and sports to move more people closer to our Lord. Seth, before all that, I was alluding to the apostolate that you started after graduating from college. Go ahead and share with us all about 1 billion stories.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking about it. So this was in 2009, right when I was about to graduate. There was a document released for the 43rd World Communications Day, and it was, you know, written by the late, you know, Pope Benedict XVI. And in this document, it was May 20, 2009, toward the bottom, if anyone wants to go read it, they can read it. It said, Pope Benedict XVI said, "It falls in particular to young people who have an almost spontaneous affinity for the new means of communication to take on the responsibility for the evangelization of this digital continent." Mm. Now, in 2009, I was a little younger, and so I read those words, and I thought to myself, you know what? I love video production. You know, I see the potential of YouTube. And just imagine, like, you know, this is well over a decade ago at this point. And I said, you know what? I am going to get out there in the world. And as you mentioned before, bike across the United States with my video camera, my laptop. And I'm going to interview some of the 1 billion Catholics on Earth. Wow. As many people know, there's over a billion Catholics on this Earth. And in college at the University of Colorado, my life was forever changed because of the students and the priests that were willing to share their story with me about the faith and their personal journey over the course of the 4 years at CU. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, is there a website out there sharing these 1 billion personal testimonies? And there were a few out there. Most of them were in the written form. And so anyway, that's a short version of how I started 1 Billion Stories. And that was, 2009. And at this time, I'm not doing it right now. I think, you know, down the road, I would love to reignite the apostolate, but it definitely was a big part of my journey within the faith.
But fill in the gap as far as the bike ride. From where to where and over what period of time was the bike ride?
Yeah, so for the bike ride, it was about a 3-month bike ride from Florida back to, so I didn't go all the way across the country, but I went from Florida all the way back to my, you know, to Denver, to Colorado. So I attended a Focus conference in Orlando, and then I went all over the state of Florida, and it was an amazing journey through Alabama, Mississippi, you know, New Orleans, over to Houston, and then all across Texas back up to Colorado.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of unique initiatives that you've undertaken, You've been mentioning YouTube a couple times. You actually post on YouTube every single day. Your channel has both your name and your company name, but it also says seek beauty, work hard, and love each other. And wow, an amazing 169,000 subscribers to your channel. And as I understand it, you do include messages, maybe not in every single video, but you do include messages that are inspired by your Catholic faith. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I always mention this, you know, if you watch any major marathon, whether it's New York City or London, and you watch the elites cross the finish line, most of them, not all of them, but many of them will make the sign of the cross when they are finishing because, you know, it's so difficult. And I think they turn their race into a prayer, you know, as part of their journey. And yeah, if you really watch the men and the women elite runners, most of them will make the sign of the cross. And I mention that because, you know, the Catholic journey that we're all on, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long-term investment into our spiritual lives, whether, you know, it's, you know, weekly confession or, you know, the rosary or however your, you know, spiritual direction, whatever actions you're taking, it is it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So, you know, through the YouTube channel, there's definitely, you know, a lot of people always notice my scapular that's, you know, flying in the wind when I'm out running, or I'll often have rosary beads in my hand as I'm out running. And yeah, so there are definitely moments in time on the YouTube channel where you'll, not to mention, you know, the size of my family, which we'll talk about probably here in a minute. But yeah, so that's part of my journey here on YouTube as well.
Well, God bless you. It's so wonderful to hear. And folks, if you've been listening to the show long enough, I hope you can anticipate what I'm about to say. But Seth, I love that you are stepping out in holy boldness, because here you are with 169,000 subscribers to your YouTube channel. So there's tremendous opportunity there to reach a lot of people who have fallen away from the church. And admittedly, I'm sure you certainly realize that you're also in a vulnerable position, because people love filling up those comments with negativity. But I love that you are stepping out in holy boldness and saying, okay, it might not be every single video, but yeah, I'm not going to hold back once in a while on revealing my Catholic faith.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes with the territory, unfortunately, in the online world. And I always say, you know, stay positive when you're online. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of times you have to ignore the negativity because it's just not worth people's time. But at the same time, being, like you're saying, being bold and not being afraid to, you know, share your faith, even if it's not it through words, but rather through action. Thankfully, on YouTube, I can do that because it's a video platform and not just an audio platform. So that's a good point you make there with staying positive. Whenever you're on social media, it doesn't matter, you know, even through email, just always stay positive is my rule of thumb.
I love it. I love it. And there's something that you said that I want to come back to, but just a housekeeping note before I forget first, and this might be too late, it might be too short notice, but I did see that coming up real soon, April 15th to the 23rd, is the 2023 Demour Global Running Distance Classic. What and where is that?
That's a great question. So it's universal, speaking of Catholic, so anyone in the world. So it is a virtual race because during the pandemic, you know, all the races around the world were canceled, which was really sad. So this is back in, I guess, 2020. And so what did we do? We started this virtual race where people around the world can run a 5K or a marathon, whatever really distance they want, and then they submit their time, and then we put all the times together, and you're actually competing against other runners all around the world. And so it's really fun, and it helps unite the what we call the DGR family online on the YouTube channel. So yeah, people can still register. It's not too late, but that's what the Distance Classic is.
Okay, I like it. I like it. So what I wanted to circle back to is there have been a lot of runners who have been guests on this show, and there seems to be a recurring theme that when they are out in competition, despite the other participants, they are essentially alone in God's creation with a terrific opportunity to spend time in prayer with Him. I'm assuming that you're going to echo that sentiment, being that you talked before about rosary beads and scapulars, as opposed to someone who might say, look, I pray before the race, and then during it, I've got all my focus on the course itself, on what I'm doing, and everything else that goes into performing at my best.
No, absolutely. It's, during the race, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times it's, the suffering. Like, it's hard to be a long-distance runner, and so I will actually, before all my big races, I'll especially write on my wrist with a marker. I'll, two or three people I want to basically pray for through the suffering of the race. And just as a reminder, it's really become a tradition with me, and it's really helped me during some of those difficult times. And just to unite the suffering with, just all the challenges that might be out there in the world or with somebody specifically that I know. And so I absolutely echo what other runners who you've interviewed, that sentiment of turning the race into a prayer.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And folks, I know just within the last couple of weeks, we talked about this concept that Seth is referring to of offering up your suffering. I referred to Polanka, which is something that we do in the Curcio movement. So listen and learn from guests like Seth, because it could be very easy to get caught up in the mechanics of running and wanting to win the race and miss out on an opportunity such as what he just described, where it's a classic example right there. It's a classic example of how can I mix my faith life and my sports life. And he just showed you how. Seth, let's close by having you share all about how long you've been in the Sacrament of Holy Matrimony and the family that you and your wife have made.
Yeah, no, this is a great way to end. Well, after the bike ride, 12 years ago, I guess it's coming up to, I met my wife at in downtown Denver at a mutual friend's birthday party, and her name is Bridget, after St. Bridget of Ireland. And so we married in 2012, and now we have five beautiful children here in Denver, four boys, and we just had our first girl last July. So she's 8 months old, and yeah, we live here in Denver. We just love Colorado, and she's originally from the Chicago area, but came out to Colorado, and once you move here, it's hard to leave. So I was very fortunate to meet her, and oh my goodness, what a gift to have a spouse who supports you in all the, the ups and downs of work, and but also of running and being a long distance runner, because it's not always easy. And so she's at my side through the thick and thin, and even just the journey of being parents and learning how to parent and understanding the different personalities of the kids. So we're very blessed here in Denver, and you can see Bridget on the YouTube channel as well.
And no doubt, it sounds like a very Catholic family too, yes?
Oh, yes, yes. We love our parish, Holy Name, here in Denver. It's a beautiful parish, and recently remodeled with beautiful stained glass with all the saints. And so a lot of our time is spent at the parish, at Holy Name. And we love our faith, and we're enjoying the Lenten season, even though it can be challenging at times with the little ones. But we're looking forward to the forthcoming Easter.
Wonderful, wonderful. Seth, it was so fun having you on the show. What a great episode this was, and I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce, and God bless you, and I look forward to listening to more of your episodes.
Thank you. Thank you. And folks, you know that my tendency would be to say, let's do an athlete's prayer to close this episode, but I thought I would do a callback to my ministry moment and the fact that the meditation that I referred to, where I had a quote from Pope Francis, he was making references to St. Michael. So let's close this week's episode. This is very rare, but we'll do it with the St. Michael prayer, and we'll do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell, Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak. Have a very happy Easter, everyone. And remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.